Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. This is, of course, the main point of this program. I could preach on here, a monologue kind of sermon, but I'm pretty sure it might bore you a little bit. That's why I think it'd be much more interesting if we have a two-way conversation. So we encourage you and we let you callers take priority. You call in, ask your Bible question, make your Bible comment. Let's discuss what the Bible says. This is a very good way to learn what the Scriptures say. And after all, the Scriptures define for us what the truth is. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God defines for us what the truth is. God doesn't speak to people today through small, still voices or anything like that. He doesn't need to. He's already spoken to us, told us everything we need to know in the Bible, in particular for us, the New Testament. The Bible defines for us the truth, and only the truth will set us free from sin. John 8, verse 31. While we're waiting on our first call, what I thought I'd talk about today is Phariseeism. I think people have a lot of misconceptions about what the Pharisees were like. As a matter of fact, I think if Jesus were alive today and preaching and teaching like he did in the first century, most denominational people, most religious people would call Jesus a Pharisee. They've got a misconception of what the Pharisees were. They think the Pharisees were condemned for being too strict with the Scriptures when the very opposite is true. So if Jesus were alive today, he would be strict with the Scriptures, and so many people would call him a legalist or a Pharisee because he was strict with the Scriptures, because they want to be loose with the Scriptures. So let's start out by talking about what really was Phariseeism. What did they actually do wrong? Well, I've got a list of five things here, and it was not being too strict with the Scriptures. Number one, they were guilty of thinking they needed no help. Jesus was talking about these Pharisees in Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 12. He says, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It's not that the Pharisees were really whole. That's not the point of Jesus. It's since they thought they were whole. They were really sick, and so they needed a physician, but you won't use a physician until you think you're sick. The Pharisees didn't think they needed any help, so they're not going to ask for help from Jesus. So they didn't think they needed any help. Number two, they neglected the weightier matters of the law. Not only were they not strict, they neglected the law they were under, even the weightier matters of the law. I'm looking at Matthew 23:23, Jesus speaking here. He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. So the Pharisees were doing some things, but they're actually omitting the weightier, the more important matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So the very opposite of being strict with God's law or too strict with God's law, they weren't nearly strict enough. They were neglecting the most important parts of the Old Testament law. Number three, the Pharisees were champion hypocrites. I'm looking at Matthew 23, verse 3. It says, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. That's one of the definitions of being a hypocrite. They were preaching the truth, but they weren't practicing what they preached. That's a hypocrite. That was what a Pharisee was. That's who he's talking about here in Matthew 23, verse 23. That they said the right things, maybe, but they didn't do the right things. So they weren't too strict with God's law. Far from it. They were not practicing what they preached. And then in the same chapter in verse 5, talking about the Pharisees, Jesus said, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. The Pharisees were doing what they did to be seen of men. It's not, their problem was not being too strict with God's law, too zealous or too devout. That wasn't the problem. Very opposite of it. They were doing what they were doing, not to please God, but to be seen of men. That was problem number three with the Pharisees. They were hypocrites. Problem number four, they were guilty of trying to trick Jesus. Well, it shows that they were dishonest if you're trying to trick somebody. The way the King James puts it in Matthew 22:15, they were trying to entangle him in his talk. It says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. It doesn't sound honest to me if you're trying to trick somebody. So the Pharisees were never condemned for being too strict with God's law. They were condemned for trying to dishonestly trick Jesus. And then number five, the Pharisees were guilty of transgressing the commandment of God with their tradition. Here's Matthew 15:9. Here's how it puts it. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. The Pharisees transgressed the commandment of God with their tradition. So they were guilty of those five things. None of those remotely has to do with being too strict. They weren't too strict. The Pharisees weren't too strict. They were the opposite of being strict. So if a person is teaching that we need to follow God's law strictly, New Testament law for us, don't accuse them of being a Pharisee, because that's not what the Pharisees were doing. They weren't doing this. Matthew 15:3 says, why, Jesus talking to them about the Pharisees, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? They were transgressing the commandment of God by their tradition. They were making up things that weren't part of God's law, like you have to wash your hands as a religious rite. They weren't strictly going by God's law. They weren't condemned for being too strict with God's law. They were condemned because they were making up laws that weren't part of the Old Testament law. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. We'd love you to call. Let's talk about what the Bible teaches. 877-655-6755. So we're talking about Phariseeism, and I'm suggesting the way people define Phariseeism today, the arch enemy of the Pharisees, Jesus, would be called a Pharisee, because they have a total misconception about what the problem that the Pharisees had. Let's talk about that some more. I think one of the things that people think of the Pharisees doing is they think that the Pharisees taught that salvation is connected with obedience, and they were condemned for that. Just the opposite. Jesus taught that salvation is connected with obedience. Let me read Matthew 7:21. Here's what Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So if teaching that salvation is conditioned upon obedience and not faith only, that is trust and obey, not just trust, if that makes one a Pharisee, then Jesus would be a Pharisee, because he taught in Matthew 7:21 that salvation is conditioned upon obedience. He said the one that's going to be with the Father in heaven is the one that obeys the will of the Father which is in heaven. Hebrews 5:9 says the same thing. Talking about Jesus, it says, in being made perfect, he, talking about Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. So the only people that are going to receive eternal salvation from the source, Jesus Christ, are those that obey Christ. That's what it says. Jesus became the author or the source of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. I'm suggesting that if Jesus were alive today and he taught that, he would be called a Pharisee. Because today, if you say you got to obey God, you got to obey Christ to be saved, you'll be called a Pharisee. But the arch enemy of Phariseeism, Jesus, taught that very thing, that you have to obey Christ, that faith alone is not enough. You have to obey Christ to be saved. Another thing that people will accuse you of being a Pharisee for is if you ever decide to argue the Bible. Now, we should not argue things that don't matter, but the most important thing there is, really, is religious doctrine. So we should 100% argue religious doctrine when we differ. I don't mean in a disrespectful way or in a sarcastic way, but we just should discuss in a friendly way and try to determine what the truth is. Because remember, Jesus said in John 8:31, he says, you are my disciples indeed, my true disciples, if you continue in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we should discuss God's word and find out what the truth is. It's not Phariseeism to argue the Bible, because if that makes a person a Pharisee, that would make Jesus a Pharisee. If you don't believe that, read Matthew 22:15-46. That could be termed one long Bible argument between Jesus and the Pharisees. Thankfully, Jesus won the argument, verse 46. Jesus even argued the Bible with the devil himself in Matthew 4:3-11. Jesus contended, Jude verse 3, but was not contentious, Romans 2:8. But he contended for the truth. That's basically Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is full of Jesus contending for the truth, arguing God's word, trying to determine what the truth is with people who do not want to follow God's word, but want to try to get around what it says. So if you argue the Bible, it doesn't make you a Pharisee. That's the very opposite of Phariseeism. That's doing what Jesus did, arguing the scriptures. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open, 877-655-6755. Jesus didn't affirm, you believe like you believe and I'll believe like I believe. That's what a lot of denominational religious people say today. They say, you believe like you believe and I'll believe like I believe. And if you say no, that you can't do that, we all have to believe the same thing, the truth, you'll be accused of being a Pharisee. But if that makes somebody a Pharisee, then Jesus would be a Pharisee today. That's an obvious cop-out to say, you believe like you believe and I'll believe like I believe. Do you think Paul was saying that when he said in 2 Timothy 2:17-18, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some? He's not saying that Hymenaeus and Philetus could believe like they wanted to believe, and Paul would believe like he'd want to believe, and they'd all go to heaven. He didn't say that at all. He said, their word will eat as doth a canker. They have erred concerning the truth. They're overthrowing the faith of some. In other words, the people are being convinced by Hymenaeus and Philetus. Their faith is being overthrown. Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. I don't think Jesus is saying you believe like you believe and I'll believe like I believe. No, he says you'll die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. That doesn't make a person a Pharisee to say that we got to believe the truth. That makes a person like Jesus. But yeah, people will say that if you think a person has to believe the truth to be saved, that makes you a Pharisee. Well, if that's true, then Jesus would be a Pharisee today. Did you know that Jesus thought there was only one way? He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 4:4 says there is but one faith. But if you preach these truths, that there's only one way and there's only one faith, you'll be called a Pharisee today. But if that makes you a Pharisee, then that means Jesus was a Pharisee, because he taught there was only one way in John 14:6, and that there was only one faith in Ephesians 4:4. Jesus would be called a Pharisee today. People are so misunderstanding about what a Pharisee was. They think a Pharisee is somebody who understands and follows the Bible too strictly. No, that's the very opposite of Phariseeism. Pharisees did not follow the Bible strictly. Jesus taught that we must follow the Bible very strictly. As a matter of fact, the more we love, just like with your parents, when you disobeyed your parents, was that showing them respect or disrespect? Disrespect. It's the same with Jesus. He says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So yes, we're saved by grace. But the more we love and respect Jesus, the more careful we're going to be to strictly obey his law out of love and respect. And if we're not following his law, strictly and conservatively, carefully, then that means we don't love and respect Jesus like we ought, just like it would have been with our parents. You know, this is something else that people talk about with Phariseeism, and it's total misunderstanding. Jesus was concerned about the outside as well as the inside. An acquaintance of mine once told an off-color joke in my presence. When I questioned him about it, when I say off-color, I mean a dirty joke. He assured me that God was concerned about the inside, not the outside, that God knew that he had a good heart. Well, my first thought that it was too bad Jesus didn't know that principle. Instead, Jesus said in Matthew 15:18, and I quote, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." So if a man tells a dirty joke, he can't say, "Well, I have a good heart." No, because if you tell a dirty joke, that shows that your heart is dirty. The things that come forth out of the mouth come from the heart. People say, "Well, that's Phariseeism to teach that you have to be concerned about the outside as well as the inside." You have to be concerned about both because the outside comes from the inside. You know, another thing that people misunderstand about Phariseeism, they'll say Pharisees were too concerned about doctrine. They think doctrine was important. Did you know that Jesus taught that doctrine was important? He said in Matthew 15:9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Did you get what Jesus is saying? If we teach the commandments of men, our worship will be in vain, meaning useless or worthless. Surely and certainly you can't go to heaven that way. You've got to teach for doctrines the commandments of God, not the commandments of men. It's that important because you can't be saved if you're teaching the commandments of men. Now, if somebody teaches baptism has to be the immersion of a believer and somebody teaches no, it's sprinkling of a baby, they both can't be teaching the commandments of God. They both can't be right. Somebody's teaching the commandments of men. Romans 6:17 says, reads this way, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." You got to obey the doctrine. Doctrine is that important. If you want to be saved, you have to obey the doctrine. People say, "But if you think doctrine's important, you're a Pharisee." Well, if that's the definition of a Pharisee, Jesus would be a Pharisee today. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment about any Bible topic. I mentioned this before. Did you know that by today's standards, Jesus would be called a legalist? People say, "Oh, if you're a legalist, that's Phariseeism." Well, if that's true, Jesus would be a Pharisee because he was a legalist. A simple definition for legalism would be strict adherence to law. According to this definition, Jesus was a legalist because he believed in strictly following God's law. About a still binding at that time old law, he said in Matthew 5:19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach man so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Do you remember Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10:1-2? They worshiped God by burning incense, but were destroyed by God, smitten by God, because they didn't do it exactly as God prescribed. It has been my experience that usually any time the charge of legalism is made, the accuser is not willing to follow God's law as completely and as accurately as the accused. Contrary to popular opinion, we should be legalists. We should strictly adhere to God's law, the New Testament law for us. We should learn from Jesus and from Nadab and Abihu that we must follow God's law completely and in every detail. That is the only way to show proper love and respect for God, John 14:50. So the next time you're called a legalist, consider it a compliment because Jesus was a legalist according to the definition that people put on legalism, meaning that, of course, they think if you're too strict with God's law, it makes you a Pharisee. You can't be too strict with God's law. The more strict you are with God's law, that means the more you love God, the more you respect him. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. You know, Jesus was an extremist. Did you know that? His teaching was so extreme in John 6:53-58 that, quote, "Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him," verse 66. That's pretty extreme because they thought what he was teaching was a hard saying, verse 60. Jesus taught we should be extremely forgiving of someone who sins against us and then repents, Luke 17:3, when he told us in Matthew 18:22 that we should be willing to forgive until 70 times 7. Forgive somebody 70 times 7, 490 times? That's pretty extreme. Well, Jesus was extreme. And if being an extremely religious person makes one a Pharisee, then Jesus would be a Pharisee today. If believing in keeping God's law makes one a Pharisee, then Jesus would be a Pharisee because Jesus believed in keeping God's law. Don't let it be heard that you believe we live under law to God today, or someone will accuse you of thinking there's no difference between New Testament law and the law of Moses, or accuse you of being a New Testament Pharisee. We must not let that kind of persecution keep us from preaching Galatians 6:2, which says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." It's amazing to me how someone who understands that Christians are to avoid sin cannot understand what 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law that God Christians are to keep for God's law for today. Let's take a call, I believe. Bambi from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, okay, so it's not about the Pharisees, although I find that extremely interesting. I have a question. It might be a silly one, but okay, so I'm just now like beginning to like really read the Bible. So I'm hearing a lot of different things, like the way that God created Adam and Eve. Okay, so they say that God took one rib from Adam and that's how he made Eve. Okay, well, I'm hearing a different thing. Like, so I'm also trying to understand the translation and the word differences. And they say that the word rib didn't mean like an actual physical rib, that it was like a measurement or like a unit. And they say that it, like, that God took half of Adam to make Eve. I'm just trying to understand, was it like a physical rib or half of him, or do we even know?
We do know. Genesis 2:21 says, "The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, not half of Adam, but one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." So he made Eve from one rib of a woman. That's clear in Genesis 2:21 and 22. So we do know.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but then I keep getting told I'm wrong. But it literally says, like, he closed the flesh back up, so that means he had to open it to get a single one rib.
That's right. That's a good, very good point. The fact that he had to close the flesh back up shows that he took that rib from inside of Adam. So a lot of people want to get around, Bambi, what the Bible actually teaches instead of just reading it and believing what it says. And this is a perfect example of that. The Bible said that God took a rib from Adam, and from that rib he made Eve. Now, I don't know how God did all that, because, you know, how did God make the moon and the earth and the sun? How did he create Eve? How did he create Adam to start with? He's got supernatural power. So he created Eve supernaturally from the rib of Adam. And so Adam said in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So that's exactly how it occurred. When somebody tells you it didn't occur that way, that's because they're wanting to try to get around the Bible. Okay, Bambi?
And that's, like, I am trying, okay, so I'm hearing, so I had a terrible childhood, and I had issues with the Lord, and I'm 43 years old, and I'm seeing things differently now. My son got into an accident, and he's paralyzed from the chest down. And only by the grace of God, he also drowned when he got in that accident. So only by the grace of God is my son even here. And so with that, I really want to, like, develop a relationship with God and Jesus, and I want to understand. And I'm hearing that I need to, like...
Bambi, let me say this. I've got to go off the air. Can I call you back in the next few minutes after the program is off the air? Maybe we could talk about doing a phone Bible study together, and that way I can help you with that, okay?
That would be so wonderful.
Thank you, Bambi. I live in Alabama, too. So you have a good evening. Thank you for your call, and I'll try to call you a little bit later, and we'll try to arrange to do some talk off air, okay?
Thank you so much.
Bye, Bambi. If you would like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. If you want a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me, 256-682-9753.